This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, we have a news on who is going to call plays for the Cowboys in 2020. Wow, what a day of breaking news it has been. There's also Baylor news. Massive day for the Astros and the scandal across Major League Baseball with stealing signs. So let's get started right here. General at your service here for hour number four of the nation. Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Yeah, I saw this quote from Mike McCarthy on Cowboys Twitter. Michael Gelkin of the Morning News tweeting it. I don't know where Mike McCarthy is talking, but he is. Quote, "My plan is for Kellen Moore to be the play caller in 2020. Said he also plans to keep the offense's terminology the same. McCarthy is going to learn the team's language, not the other way around." That makes a lot of sense. You wouldn't want to have language be a concern, especially because people learn at different rates. And now you're the head coach. You can control it and get rid of all that. So I do like the terminology stuff. And I like the long-term potential of Kellen Moore and continuing to invest in him. The team did score, I believe, four or five more points per game in his first season. Although I wouldn't have been disappointed either if Mike McCarthy had hung on to play calling duties. What is your guys' first impressions of this story?
Shocked. Surprised. I thought Mike McCarthy was being hired not only to be the head coach, but to be the play caller. I'm not saying it's, bad. I'm shocked. I just thought for sure when they hired Mike McCarthy that he was going to be head coach slash offensive coordinator. So I understood keeping Kellen Moore and him having a role, but I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, what is going to be different, you know, with McCarthy compared to Garrett at this point? Obviously, he does work incredibly well with quarterbacks. He has made a long career out of that. I don't know if Garrett made quarterbacks better. I don't know if McCarthy has either, but he's worked with a lot of good ones. And Aaron Brooks was exceptional with him in New Orleans. Hopefully you're getting better quality control. Hopefully you're getting more discipline. Hopefully you're getting, you know, learning from the predictability and the tendency mistakes that were late in McCarthy's career. I don't think you need the McCarthy play calling difference for it to be a success. But, you know, it does make me wonder tangibly what is going to change with the Cowboys from 2019 to 2020.
Okay, how about a what if? Because this is going to be my turn to be the skeptical guy of the Cowboys. Kellen Moore, I like as a play caller, and I'm glad he's calling plays. That part of it, I love it. Empower Kellen Moore. Let's go. The other part is I can't imagine that the new head coach of the Cowboys, who once said after giving up play calling once, "I'll never do that again." My guess would be that that's not his plan. Maybe it was part of the interview and he agreed to it. But, and I could be wrong. I'm totally guessing. I have zero sourcing. Mike Fisher tells me on Twitter that I should believe that McCarthy, that it is his idea. And I'm going to pass on that. This to me would seem like something that was more mandated or agreed to while interviewing that, hey, we really like Kellen. Are you cool with him calling the plays? And, you know, if he said he's cool with it, I guess I shouldn't have that big of a problem with it. But it's my first little antenna up of, I think the Cowboys probably told the new head coach to keep somebody and what his role is going to be.
Yeah, everybody was blown out except for Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier. So, you know, and it does seem like Jerry was heading in a Kellen Moore direction and was really intrigued and excited about what the kid was going to bring to the future of football for the Cowboys.
I mean, just kind of taking this all in as we learn this, you know, pretty much during the break, as we are going to break. I'm still happy Mike McCarthy is the head coach and not Jason Garrett. I'm optimistic that will help the Cowboys organization. I'm wondering through this whole thing, like Mike McCarthy, how much is he influencing Kellen Moore? Because I still believe that Jason Garrett influenced Kellen Moore, like almost like, here's somewhat of my playbook. I know, hey, my buddy, you know, Jerry Jones wants you to really kind of move motions and everything and leave you alone a little bit. But really, I mean, I am the head coach and here's my philosophies. So is that what Mike McCarthy does with Kellen Moore on a daily basis? Just like, hey, I'm the head coach. Here's my philosophies. Here's pretty much a lot of my playbook, which I believe in. Kid, do what you got to do, but here's how I see things working. And then if it's 2-2 to start a year, and offensively you just don't feel like there's been major progress. Does then Mike McCarthy say, hey, we tried it for a quarter of the season. Now I'm going to do it. I don't know.
Those are fair things, right? And I think all of this, at this point, we're in a fantastic point where all speculation is fair. I do think it's also very possible that Kellen Moore is so impressive, the ways that he impressed Jason Garrett and Dan Orlovsky and John Kitna, that he got in that room and Mike McCarthy was like, well, good God, I would be an idiot to not, you know, try to explore how this could really benefit us.
That would be the most positive that could be drawn from this would be if you watched the Mike McCarthy, I'm trying to get back in the league special. I mean, he talked about Kellen Moore. He said, this is probably my favorite play. Here's a Kellen Moore thing. So the most optimistic view would be that Mike McCarthy, who was a guy that said, I'll never give up play calling again, and then was unemployed and had time to reflect and think about, okay, what have I done here, has a guy that he thinks is really good at this and went, that's you, kid.
Yeah.
I know how to coach. And I'm a head coach, and I want you calling my offense.
Yeah,
and it's not even going to be his offense, I guess, because – and that's probably good, too, because you have a quarterback who's been saying the same things his entire career in terms of terminology and what do we call positions and how do I call these plays, that the new head coach comes in and says, well, there are things I'm going to change, but making you learn all new terminology is not one of them.
Yeah.
That could definitely be a positive.
Yeah, I'm sure the players appreciate it. Heck, a lot more free time between now and the start of training camp.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario, though, Mike, he just presented a best case scenario that Kellen Moore is just so impressive for McCarthy and he's open-minded and all this stuff. Worst case is, though, it's the first signs that what they said isn't being matched up with actions, and maybe Jerry Jones has his guy inside the team that when things go bad, the players are thinking, is Kellen Moore the real boss? McCarthy's saying this, but Jerry and Kellen are trying to accomplish this. And you know that unfortunately that's the way that unhealthy bosses set up the structure underneath them, with ambiguity, so everybody eventually has to turn and look up to you for the real answers.
I think Jerry, I know he loves taking responsibility for the Dallas Cowboys, and so when it's 8-8 season, hey, I know I had to let go of Jason Garrett, but it was me.
He loves that,
right? It was me. And so, like, now, if a day goes bad, and a day will go bad, but hopefully it just isn't consistent, when you only score 9 points in a big game against Philadelphia, does the head coach, like Jason Garrett, pretty much go, well, I mean, we just didn't execute. I just watched the game. Like, is that going to be Mike McCarthy's answer too? I hope not. But, I mean, now Mike McCarthy can go, hey, how come you guys on third down did this? Mike McCarthy say, I didn't do it. That was Kellen Moore who did it.
Well, I think, you know, that's why a lot of teams like to say we make decisions as a group. It kind of protects individuals from that sort of extra critical eye. You know, we'll see. And like I said last week when I took round one of criticism of how things were being talked about with the Mike McCarthy hiring, you know, it's really going to take for training camp and the regular season to kick off before we have the actual real kind of evidence we need to make our final decision.
You know, just maybe Mike McCarthy, at least when it's, you know, within the last 3 minutes of a game and you're driving, he'll at least let Kellen Moore know, hey, we're in four down territory now.
Stuff like
just
that.
Just as since you're calling plays, I'm letting you know you have four downs to get the first down here and not three. Like, Jason Garrett wouldn't even give that information to his offensive coordinator.
And maybe another best case scenario, Kellen Moore's doing the offense. I'm Mike McCarthy over here. I'm game managing and I have the analytics guy in my ear. So when they're telling me something that Kellen Moore needs to hear for a very important, a decision.
Yeah.
Maybe things flow easier that way if you don't have to worry about thinking about, okay, are we going for it and what play am I calling if we do?
Yeah, and as I just keep trying to be more optimistic about this is Bill Belichick doesn't call the offensive plays. I know he's more of a defensive guy, but he is very involved with the offense. He doesn't call the offensive plays, but from what we understand, he overrules at times.
Absolutely.
Because he's in charge of the whole game management. So if he's like, hey, we need to run 3 minutes off the clock, so we are doing these plays, which I know are going to be successful 4 to 7 yard plays, and they're going to keep the clock running. Maybe that's how Mike McCarthy influences the game without calling the plays.
Okay, elsewhere in the world of sports, baseball. Holy cow.
See Altuve's come out and made a statement?
No.
Okay, so he's come out through the New York Post, through Scott Boras, his agent, and said, I've never worn a device of any kind. So this is a flat out lie that is happening right now. So who knows? Yeah. So he has come out. He's made his, you know, I'll call it his Rafael Palmeiro statement. Oh. He's made his Rafael Palmeiro statement that I've never done anything like this in my whole life. So this is a 100% lie. So now the investigation, I think, should happen, because now if he does that,
if he's lying,
if he's now lying after like slamming. Really coming in and saying, I didn't do anything like this, this is a flat out lie, then.
Very interesting. So the news came out right after we went on the air about 3 hours or so ago, and they were it was following up on a report a couple of months ago that maybe in 2019 the Astros had used buzzers inside their jerseys to get tipped, and a Twitter user started talking about it, and then there's different pictures and video that might suggest Bregman, Altuve, Reddick might have had wires with little buzzers inside their jerseys, and they were getting signals tipped from inside the clubhouse where a teammate or a clubby or something was watching the game and passing along the sign. So that was one of the developments. Carlos Beltran, the Mets manager, fired before he even gets to his first spring training for his role in the 2017 and the investigation that came as a result of it. I do have a question for you, Mike.
Okay.
Depending on how rampant this was, couldn't it partially explain the explosion of home runs too?
It could.
Yeah.
But then there's an explosion of strikeouts. So why were we missing so many pitches if we knew what was coming?
I don't know. You probably wouldn't just have direct swing and misses on fastballs, would you?
Yeah.
At least they'd be fouled off or tipped for most of these guys.
Had to throw off a scent. If we all bat 600, we're going to get in trouble.
Dude, you're way too hot this week. Cool off, bro. Yeah. We're going to have to stop giving you the signals.
You're out for these 2 weeks.
And then there's the Jessica Mendoza angle, the ESPN analyst. She said to go public with it and call them out at the start of the season, it's hard to swallow. Her point is that Mike Fiers should have just revealed the Astros sign-stealing scheme to his new teammates and not given it to the media. And I think it's a really interesting point. I do see her point, because I think in the fraternity of athletes and baseball players, the loyalty becomes a just as much for some people as the pure right and wrong of it.
Yeah, and I was reading sort of the explanation that he gives for the reason that he did talk about it, and I thought it made a lot of sense. It could be I'm mad at them because I'm not on the team anymore, but he was talking about how, listen, I was playing on a Detroit team that had a bunch of young guys, and if you know something that's going on and you don't warn them, and a guy gets his first career start and goes two-thirds of an inning and gives up 7 runs, your career's over. You ain't getting another shot. Sorry about your luck.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not doing that. That's altering people's careers. Mm. So I wanted to prepare them for that. Trevor Bauer, by the way, took the quote of Jessica Mendoza when she was sort of critical, and he shared that with this comment. He said, there had been 2 years of internal discussions, many complaints filed, back channels used, evidence presented, no investigations. Sometimes you have to force the issue or nothing gets done.
Oh, so this was kind of an open secret for some people in baseball?
Yeah, I guess I'm reading a lot of stuff now that, like, is if you just type in Mike Trout, like, through Twitter, and I guess a lot of people knew that the Astros were cheating. It just, and even they're saying Major League Baseball had a great idea that they were cheating, maybe just didn't know exactly how they were doing it. So there's that you can, you're finding more and more, like, players knew the Astros were doing something, and that's why they took the measures in this last season to say no more cameras in the outfield that are not, like Fox Sports Southwest or whatever. And then here's more kind of a little bit of breaking news for MLB baseball. According to a Bleacher Report MLB, Carlos Beltran wanted to stay with the Mets. This was not mutual. He said he could handle the heat, but the team decided it was going to be too much of a distraction for the team and down the line. So it was more the Mets decided to get rid of Carlos Beltran than it was a mutual thing. At least that's what we're getting now.
Okay, Mike McCarthy is talking. It is generating tweets on Cowboys Twitter. We'll give you everything he's talking about, including who will call the plays. And there was an All-Pro that had a surgery today. We got to tell you about that as well here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation, as a massive day of news is unfolding. We'll get you the very latest on what Mike McCarthy has said about the defensive scheme, Kellen Moore, play calling, the Senior Bowl. He has met with the print media, and is talking about quite a few subjects here. We'll pass those along. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. The official lawyers of the Tolo, frankelfirm.com. Here we go. It's time for Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral. The biggest one is Mike McCarthy's quote, "My plan is for Kellen Moore to be the play caller in 2020, and he plans to keep the offense's terminology the same." And there's quite a bit of a discussion raging across Cowboys Twitter and here on The Fan. Should we take that as a positive sign, as a negative sign? How do you interpret that news?
Our guy knows that the offense wasn't broken. He's saying, keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to take it as a neutral sign. I'm not going to be like, all right, that a way to go. Or, oh no, like this is a horrible day in Mike McCarthy's start to his coaching. I'm just going to be like, okay, let's have it play out. And I think Mike McCarthy, if I will be surprised if after 4 or 6 games, if the offense for some reason isn't doing as good as we think it should do, or as good as Mike McCarthy thinks it should do, I would be surprised if he doesn't say, hey, I got to take this over because
this is
what I'm good at.
He has no problem grabbing the reins. Yeah. He did that from one of his old offensive coordinators. I do think there's going to be growing pains with Kellen Moore, and I think we saw that. And at times, you know, maybe a lot of the inability to move the ball at meaningful times was on Kellen Moore. But the only way I don't like the move is if it is the Jones is forcing it or heavily influencing it.
Well, you know, I would hate that if that was the case. I'm just going to hope and assume that that's not the case, that Mike McCarthy has decided Kellen Moore can do this job. I'm just going to be his number one advisor in especially big situations, because at least my opinion was, since Thanksgiving, the offense was at best an average offense in the NFL. And that's just by me watching the games. There might be stats to say, Mike, you're stupid with that.
But I won't disagree with you because I don't want you to leave at 5:25. Okay. We've got an hour and a half left.
No, it's okay to disagree, because you might have things that say, look, I'm totally off on that. But I just felt like that it wasn't a good offense down the stretch.
Here's what Mike McCarthy said. We go to the Twitter account of John Machota. Kellen was someone I was watching from afar. Regardless of what opportunity worked out for myself, the opportunity to work with Kellen was something I was going to pursue either way.
Hey,
he's got his story straight, that's for sure. You know, if
he's telling the truth. Yeah, his real opinion.
Either way, you know, what I was talking about last week is an inability to put more convincing words into your ideas. That's what disrupted me last week with the Mike McCarthy parade, was he felt like he was scrambling and deflecting very legitimate questions because he either couldn't answer it or didn't know the answer. You know, and this round of media sounds like a guy who's very much more informed and knows the direction that they're going. And maybe it's just a result of a week of meetings.
How about this part, Gavin, where he's coming right at your head? They're not going to the Senior Bowl, the coaches.
I saw that.
Because they say there's too much work to do building the program and technology advances. So they're like, they got other things they got to do. They got to get the 14 guys together, you know? Plus, I think part of that is they're also saying, like, we can get flawless video from every Senior Bowl practice. We don't necessarily have to be there. But actually, I have another
there's
take on that.
There's value in being there. There's
a
reason people
value.
Go there.
Well, they have people there. They have the right people there.
Yes, and to that point, that was the thing that bothered me the most last week, is when they're asking him about analytics, and he's like, well, you know, that 14-person crew, that's not coming along. And, you know, then he just...
Not what he said, Gavin.
That's basically what he said.
No, it's not.
He said, I'm not adding to what the Cowboys analytics department does. You know, I'm just building off what they got. So, I don't know. If the 14-person crew doesn't come, I don't care. But if they're taking extra time to get the ball rolling on guys, the most important thing is how you integrate that on game day. And for that reason, we're going to start very, very early on perfecting that process of the logistics of the play calling. We'll have games up on TV. We all have headsets. We're around a boardroom table, and we're going to talk this out with everybody involved in play calling, just like Tony Romo and Brad Sham snuck away to fake call broadcast games in the offseason, right? If it is that new and implementing is that important, get after it. Hours every day, dry runs through involving the analytics and the play calling, guys. And if that's why they're not going to the Senior Bowl, dude, That would get Cowboy Gavin back on his steed once again.
I will say through the Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053, there's about a dozen here, and I would say they're all 100% optimistic about Kellen Moore calling the plays with Mike McCarthy being kind of the leader of the offense.
Sweet. How about this one from David Moore? Cowboys will keep four down defensive linemen as their base scheme going forward. Answer to that question for you. But Mike made it clear there will be a lot of different looks. You coach to the talent and not the scheme, says Mike McCarthy. So switch to the 3-4, not happen.
That's okay. Like Jeff said, I mean, you only play three down linemen in the 3-4 scheme 33% of the time.
At most, yeah.
Yeah.
I do think you got to look at it like we have one lineman right now who's starting, and if you switch to a 3-4, you need five guys. Right now, you just need four. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
We know this now. We're not going to go with 285-pound one technique, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the stupidest things that we did, and we complied with it. We didn't complain about it enough. But that was just their philosophy is if you were over 285 pounds, you probably weren't athletic enough to play in this defense. And so if we can just get one guy that's the roadblock guy that we need, I think it can help out the defense with the linebackers being free to make more plays.
I mean, for the longest time, we thought, well, it's just Tank and a bunch of guys, right? So that's why the defensive line isn't that great. But then you got Tank and Malik Collins started playing well at three, and Robert Quinn's over there and Michael Bennett's over there, and you're still not getting enough from your defensive line, even though three of the four positions were playing well, and it was because there was a massive hole for a lot of the season in the middle of it. And, you know, I know Antoine Woods came back and played half decent in a couple of those games, the Rams game, the Giants game. But other than that, they didn't have much at all. And the massive hole in the middle of the defensive line, it proved to us.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't have an opposite side defensive end or a three technique. It's that they ignore one spot, and offenses are really good at exploiting a weakness that significant.
Yes, and yeah, that's it.
Okay, how about we go to Todd Archer here? Al Harris will join Mike McCarthy's staff as a defensive backs coach, the former Green Bay Packer. Okay. Played for McCarthy in Green Bay, was an assistant in Kansas City from 2013 to 18, had 21 picks in a 14-year career. The Cowboys will also have a former Aggie there coaching their defensive
back. You know what? Since you're naming former Packers, you named it earlier and it didn't hit me, but Clinton Dix was pretty much played the first part of his career.
Yes.
With McCarthy, right?
5-6 years.
That could be a guy. When now thinking Warriors? Of free agency, I know he's bringing in a former Green Bay Packer.
Make a lot of sense.
But he probably needs to bring in a couple Green Bay Packers to know, like, hey, this is the way he runs things. This is the way he wants things. So now I'm like, okay, like I could see Clinton Dix coming in because he's a McCarthy guy.
There's a defensive lineman down there too. We talked about the defensive lineman.
Daniels?
Yeah, Mike Daniels.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I like Al Harris. You know what I like about Al Harris? Al Harris played a whole bunch of press coverage. He played press man, so I'm always, every offseason, I'm looking for them to add somebody to the staff that makes me think they're going to challenge receivers and let their corners line up at the line of scrimmage and play press man and disrupt timing. And I'll find a reason to believe that every year, whether they actually ever do it or not, and so I'm going to use this as my evidence this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get after it,
finally,
man.
Happening.
I thought that was happening with Rashard.
Yeah.
They just not have the bodies for it, the talent for it.
They were having a great time running what they were running and not looking for the ball.
How about we go to the account of Jory Epstein, USA Today Cowboys writer. She tweets, Jason Witten will not be Cowboys tight ends coach. Lunda Wells, most recently with the Giants tight ends, will. Mike McCarthy said he and Witt had a great conversation, and there's a number of things he's thinking about. Wonder which way that goes.
So Witt walked in and he goes, hey, Mike, let me tell you how things go around here. I practice. I play. I play the plays. When I'm tired, Blake can have a few.
Don't worry. I'm here. Coach. I got it covered. The Y option. You really need me. And he was like, here's the deal. I think Mike said, you can back up or you can retire and join the coaching staff in an alternate role. So think about
that.
Those two things.
Wait, that's weird, Coach, because I've had a lot of conversations with the head coach before, and I'm telling you, I'm good. I'm going to be out there.
Yeah, I'm sure he's conditioned you to believe that.
Well, hold on, Coach. You're telling me we're going to take delay of games? You're going to put an extra tight end out there? I'm playing. That's what I do.
Okay.
Secrets in the dirt.
Security.
Do you think that Jason Witten will be on the Dallas Cowboys team as a player?
I do. I don't think he wants to retire, and I think he's good enough to be a backup.
I agree. Yeah. I'm just hoping that with this change, we don't have to hear Stephen Jones when we try to nicely question, hey, Jason Witten doesn't really block good. What do you mean? He's a great blocker.
I happen to notice he played 75% of the snaps, and the guy behind him gets like twice as much per catch. Stephen, what's that about? Jason's a great leader.
You guys are making up stuff again on the radio.
It is the G-Bag Nation here. You media guys, obviously.
Obviously, you don't know how great Jason Witten is as a blocker. That one that you watched where he got pushed 5 yards away or totally whiffed, you guys, I don't know what you're watching.
Well, he could have been honest and said, hey, guys, here's the thing. Jarwin can't block either. And then we'd be like, all right, great point, but he's a better receiver.
Off-season surgery update here from the account of Todd Archer. Guard Zach Martin underwent cleanup surgery on his ankle. He'll be ready to return during the offseason program. He'd been selected to play in the Pro Bowl 6th straight season, was named second team All-Pro, dealt with back and elbow injuries during the season, started every game, will not require surgery for those other injuries. I took that as an overall good, just for the confirmation that Zach Martin didn't need a microdiscectomy or one of those, you know, slip disc type of surgeries. I was worried about that all season long with Zach Martin. Well, I take that as good news. Nobody likes to have the feet and ankle operated on. I mean, that can start a really bad chain of events, ask me. But this minor one for Zach Martin, I think a lot of times players can deal with that kind of stuff and be back to work with their off-season training in just a couple of weeks.
It's got to be great to be so good at your sport that you got tired of Pro Bowls. Well, Zach, you want to wait till after the Pro Bowl? No, not really. Just do it. I don't care about that thing.
How about we finish with this tweet from the account of Joey Ikes, Cowboys blogger. He tweets, reminder, my favorite baseball team cheated. He's an Astros fan. But if you're clutching your pearls pretending your team didn't, at this point, it's only a matter of time until you find out you're wrong. I am not in denial about what my team did. You, on the other hand?
Oh.
Question mark. There is one report out there from a former player or an anonymous source that said players had told him they felt like the Rangers might be amongst the cheaters as well. I just don't know how you can look at their strikeout numbers and their contact rates. And would obviously be doing it with
Rugi.
We
were the worst cheaters ever. Yeah. All the other teams that cheated won a championship or won their division.
I responded.
Which we know Boston, Houston, and if the report is right, Milwaukee, and then it would lump the Texas Rangers in there too. I'm like, son of a gun, we were the bad cheaters.
I responded to Joey and I told him, I said, these are the stages of grief. I said, one is denial and you're past that and that's good. Two's anger and three's bargaining. You're right between two and three right now.
Nice job,
that's,
Jeff.
That's right where you are.
That's gold.
It does sound like that's a very Jerry Jones thing to say. Well, every owner makes the final decisions. Every owner's the real general manager. We're like, no, you're making things up to make yourself sound like you're not doing, you know, what you are unfortunately doing.
It's like when Kobe was like, dude, Shaq did it too. Yeah. Pay the gals off. Couldn't help it. Okay, there's Baylor news.
Wasn't even necessary, bro.
All the time.
It wasn't even necessary. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
I love when you do that, but I'm going to agree with Lucius. That one did come out of nowhere right there.
I thought it was very apropos.
He's grown past that now, you know?
Baylor has a new head coach. It's the LSU defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda. We'll talk more about that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour when we give you what's on 105thefan.com. Jeff has a segment coming up next, though, and where are you going with it?
My favorite part of this breaking Cowboy news for you is next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll have what's on 105thefan.com. Here is Jeff with a segment.
Hey, guys, I'm here. Got a segment for you. The things we were just talking about, a lot of breaking Cowboys news, Dave Hellman tweeting it out, Mike McCarthy with the print reporters. I want to go over just my favorite part really quick, and my favorite part of what Mike McCarthy said is the Cowboys' new coaching staff will not be going to the Senior Bowl. And Gavin, you mentioned it. There is a benefit in going to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
There is a benefit to seeing people in person. There's a benefit to being able to interact with people and try to figure out, hey, what's up with this player? There's absolutely a benefit to being there. So my favorite part of the breaking news is that it's the Cowboys' new coaching staff won't be going to the Senior Bowl.
Oh,
you know who will be going to the Senior Bowl?
Scouts.
The Cowboys scouts will be going to the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
So this is my favorite thing for the Cowboys right now is for at least the moment, and you never know what happens by the time April rolls around, but at least for the moment, what you have is the scouts scouting. and the coaches figuring out how they're going to coach.
Oh, that's delicious.
You do what you've done your whole life and get ready to do that for the season.
Mm.
These guys are going to do what they've been doing professionally and identify players, tell you how good they are, and then we're going to pick them, and then you coach the players that we pick, as opposed to being a coach who also wants to go be a scout for one weekend in Mobile, Alabama, and then swing back through and be like, guys, I found us a receiver. And the scout's like, yeah, I've been watching him for 2 years. Let me tell you where we have him. Well, I met him, and he was a sweet man. He ran a really good route on Friday night.
I can really coach him up now.
I'm taking him. That's my guy.
Well, that's good. I was working on a couple of nicknames, either Mike McGarrett, what do you think of that, or Pittsburgh JG. But because of these developments here today,
man.
Yeah, I was about to go upside his head. Okay. I'm gonna distance. I'm taking two steps back from those nicknames.
If you guys
could be really harsh and call him Fat Garrett.
Yeah, Fat Garrett. That. I like that one.
But he looks more like Steven than Garrett in the face. But if you guys didn't like their offense last year, you shouldn't like the news about McCarthy giving play calling to Kellen, should you?
I don't mind it. Yeah, I think Kellen Moore scored more points. There were times I needed to be in better situations, but I think the ingredients are there. Kellen just needs a little bit more time to cook and work out the wrinkles.
I mean, as of without seeing schedule, without seeing free agency, without seeing the draft, I think the Cowboys are going to go 10-6 just by changing the head coach. But I'm not going to go further than that because it's pretty much the same players, and for some reason those players weren't motivated to win football games last year. So I've already throwing it out way before.
You don't even know the anything. Team.
Don't know
losing does motivate them though, Mike.
I know, and that's why I'm always wrong predicting the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because when they do good, I'm like, well, the next year they're going to do better. And then they're like, nah, we don't want to do better. In fact, we're not even going to try. And then when they don't try, then the next year I'm like, I don't know. They're not going to be that good. They're like, hey, we're going to try hard this year.
All right, guys.
They were like me in school. I just did enough work to get ungrounded for the summer.
Yeah.
And then back, by Christmas, I'd be grounded for the rest of spring.
By senior year, it was like, all right, how many times do I have to go and what do I have to turn in to get a C? How can we pass?
My mom was like, you can't ground him for all of his high school. My dad was like hell, I can't. thankfully. I was ungrounded probably 40% of the time.
Yeah. My mom was kind of the same way. Where it was like, yeah, he can't be in trouble all the time. And then she would take it a step further when friends were in trouble and go over to their house and be like, listen.
You can't ground him.
You can't ground him all the time.
Jeff really wants to play with him.
Who's Jeff going to hang out with?
That's awesome.
I remember that because there was a dance and Buddy Aaron was in trouble. And my mom went over there and she's like, hey.
She ironed it out.
The dance, these don't happen often. Like, well, they happen like 3 times a year, but it's like, they don't happen. She did not win. Aaron's mom didn't play that stuff. She's like, you get out of my house or I'll rip your ass. Something like that. Anyway, on to the more important news. As if it couldn't get any worse for Houston.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of dirty, rotten cheaters.
Uh-huh.
You've never won anything real. It's all fake. It's all smoke and mirrors. And now you are at mortal risk every time you step out your front door if you live in Houston.
Gators?
No, they got an angry squirrel that's a human attacker on the loose.
Wow.
Yeah, they got it's a Houston neighborhood. And here's a quote from a lady named Charlene. She said, we usually don't go outside in the daytime. Because he comes out in the daytime.
Oh, my.
There's a squirrel that is so angry and such a terror to the neighborhood that mama won't go outside, period, until the sun goes down. The feral animal, who's anything but friendly, has attacked 2 people.
Sounds like he might be rabid.
Leaving them bloodied, bruised, and in need of stitches.
Squirrels are very quick. You underestimate them.
I had a stare down with a squirrel last week. One of the scariest moments of my life. Because the squirrels, when I'm out there walking stomp, if she sees one, she wants me to drop the leash. She can chase it and make it go back up the tree. So I do that. And then I'm like, good job. You got it. But one of them stood about 4.5, 5 feet. No, probably about 6.5, 7 feet up the tree. And you know, sometimes they'll crane their neck out.
Yeah.
And it was looking me dead in the eye.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there going, okay, what is my reaction? Because my reaction, normally you'd be like, oh, you can just keep moving. I'm not turning my back because he's looking at me. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a challenge.
Yeah, it's you in nature right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like a challenge. And so I was like, okay.
That speed will make you cocky.
Sure will. Big old nuts, Subra.
I thought about approaching him and being like, okay, one of us is going to blink and it's not going to be me. But instead, what I did is I settled for stare down until he backed down from that.
There you go.
Because I was afraid. And I thought, if I turn my back, he'll kill me. If I approach, he'll gouge my eye out. And I had my dog, so my dog would have handled it eventually, but I would have lost an eye. And so I did what anybody would do. I stared until he stopped staring, and then I moved on.
Good for you. You see him again?
I haven't seen that one.
We got one in our neighborhood. I came outside to the car, get in the car, and he was on the hood of the car, right? I'm expecting him to run off as soon as you start hearing my keys and everything.
Yeah.
Dude turned up, popped up, just looked at me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honk, honk, bop, look back at me. Come on, man, get out the car. Runs off. Doesn't go far. Only goes to the sidewalk and just looks back at me in the car. I'm like, yo.
You're taking my car?
What's going on over here with these squirrels in Los Colinas?
But you weren't creeped out getting in the car with him on the car?
I was just blown away. Just blown away the whole time.
Okay.
Did he say, sorry, I thought that was my Uber?
Quote.
No Uber pool over here, homie.
Charlene says, when I stepped outside the door, he leaped on me and bit my arm.
Wow.
I threw him off, threw him to the ground, and tried to get in the house.
He is rabid. That's clear.
I couldn't get in the house.
Come on.
Because he came back, and he bit this leg. I don't know which leg she pointed at.
They're fast, man.
But she does have the stitches and the bite marks to prove it. And here's the part where I get questionable on the report. It says, the squirrel also attacked Katie Herrera, who lives in the Bridgeland Shores neighborhood, which I guess is nearby. How do you know it was
Yeah, how you know it's the same squirrel, unless it's like a stripe from Grinwin or something.
It's
yeah.
pretty rare. Squirrels don't attack usually. Yeah. I would say if
maybe not in Sunnyvale.
If there's two squirrel attacks within a 2 mile square area, a diameter.
Okay.
They're related.
Katie says, it is scary. I'm just very grateful that it actually attacked me and not my children. And that is, the squirrel is the, I'm actually more confident in combat with an animal that's like 80 pounds than one that's like 3.
Yeah.
Because that one, it would take me a while to get a hold of the squirrel. Mm-hmm. The squirrel would do damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you brought around a 70 pound cat, he'd do some damage too.
Cougar.
But I would get that cougar's neck.
And eventually.
That would be a wrap.
I don't know.
But
about
a squirrel,
that,
yeah, I feel like. You. No, yeah, a cougar would be easy.
Nah, I feel you, bro. Whatever.
But a squirrel would be tough.
He can keep hitting and running, you know? Just bam, bam, bam. Gotcha. I'm gone. I'm jumping.
Yeah, now you
I'm
got,
on the sofa. I'm on your face. I'm on the chandelier. I'm on your chest. I'm on your neck.
Now you have 19 holes in your calf, 4 in your quad, and 3 in your chest, and you're bleeding out before you even got a hold of the little
That's
sucker.
What house cats do that. House cats are very capable of that.
Yeah, they'll tear you apart, player.
They got more square footage. You can grab something.
Yeah.
You can grab something. That squirrel.
But you better be aggressive.
Well, yeah.
You better have great aim, too.
Like, wow, that really hurts. The cat's kill. What? And you just cover up and start screaming. You have to remain aggressive or it will end badly.
The biggest disadvantage I've found in my animal fighting career that most people run into.
Animal fighting career.
Yeah. Most people, when they end up in combat with an animal, they don't think to bite. Right? You think of that as, the animal might bite. You have teeth, too. And you don't have to have them filed down, but these two here, what are these ones called?
Yeah, absolutely
canines.
Correct.
Those
incisors.
Two? Yeah. Yeah. You'll puncture a lung.
Have you ever bit your dog on the tail or something? Just
no.
Dog be confused as hell. Like, what's going on right now? You right, man.
When did you bite?
Well, every once in a while, she just starts doing too much, and I'll bite her. Get off of me. She look back at me like, whoa.
Very clear.
Okay, it's getting real.
Yeah. Alpha's in the house.
Lucius, it appears that you and I need to have conversations. Maybe I can improve my
tactics. Go ahead, bite your dog. You ain't got to bite hard. You just got to let her know, hey, man, I got teeth, too.
In other news, high school teacher. How does this story go?
Come on, man. It happened again.
High school teacher in Oklahoma arrested for allegedly having a threesome in her house with a student and a former teacher in the district. Mm. Three participants. Her name's Joyce. She's a volleyball coach at Berry Hill High in Tulsa. She got with the teen via
918, stand up.
Yeah, she invited the teen over to her home last year, and the student admitted the encounter taking place at the teacher's home along with another adult female who used to be a teacher there. She turned herself in after authorities issued a warrant for her arrest. She was charged with the R word.
Okay.
Been charged with the R word.
Getting very serious here.
Authorities believe there may be more victims.
With the S word in front of it because of the age?
Doesn't have the S word. Just the R word. I'm comfortable saying statutory on the radio, but just the R word in there. They discovered that she had messaged another student who did not swing by the house. One student had a lot of discipline, a lot of couth about him. He was like, no, that's not right. I'm not swinging by. So I'd imagine she's fired because she'll probably go to jail. And Pornhub is being sued by a deaf guy because he said they don't have closed captioning on enough videos.
Get those subtitles up there. Mm-hmm. Deaf people need the stimulation as well.
It's a class action lawsuit.
Yeah,
we'll
they're
see
missing
what happens.
The whole plot.
A lot of uhs and ums.
I don't know.
Well, it depends. He says, let's see, in the documents he says he watched but was completely lost on the dialogue in hot step aunt babysits disobedient nephew, sexy cop gets witness to talk, and daddy 4K, Allison comes to talk about money to her boy's naughty father. So he wanted to watch those three because he liked the titles, but he didn't know what was going on because they didn't have closed captioning.
So insensitive. I can't believe those people over there at that website.
Yep.
Okay, when we come back, it's time to take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.